Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The winter meetings are well in the rearview mirror. We're going to turn the page to the new year. We'll have the countdown to the Twins Winter Caravan, Twins Fest, and then we'll begin getting ready for pitchers and catchers. And that is one of my favorite signs of spring, is when pitchers and catchers report to spring training in Arizona and in Florida. And Bobby Nightingale covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. Bobby, it's been a while. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I hope you're doing well. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, good to visit with you. And I visited with your dad a while ago before Juan Soto decided on the big deal with the Mets. It's still insane to me, but here we go. The Twins haven't made any moves in that category. But I would assume the business of baseball is still buzzing about that particular deal.
Absolutely. I mean, think how much the jump happened. I mean, Shohei Ohtani became the first $700 million player last year, and already you have someone who topped that contract. And, you know, Ohtani's was so heavily deferred. I mean, that was worth $400 million in present-day money, and this is worth over $700 million in present-day money. So, just mind-blowing numbers when you think about it. I mean, how much he'll make per game, fully guaranteed contract. But also, I mean, you look at where, the Twins are for sale, maybe they go for $1.4, $1.5 billion. And then you look at Juan Soto's contract, and that's probably half of that.
Yeah, it is crazy. And let's get into that. That is still a big story, and there has been talk. We've already seen one potential buyer of the club, and they're involved with the Phoenix Suns. But I would assume there would be other suitors, and we would learn more. I visited with your colleague at the Star Tribune, Phil Miller, and I would think that would heat up pretty rapidly in the new year.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, even when the Poleds announced the sale at the beginning of October, everyone kind of cautioned, hey, this is like at least a six-month process, maybe longer, something that could linger into the, full 2025 season. It's not surprising that it's been pretty quiet so far. I'd expect more names to kind of surface, or at least the intensity of things to step up here. Probably by the time spring training gets going, the opening day, kind of around that time frame, and then maybe there's a deal by the summer to be had. If not, maybe at the end of the season. But it's not surprising that teams will be in. People would be interested. I mean, there's only 30 of these teams, so that's always going to be, a hot commodity that, owning a sports franchise.
Bobby Nightingale joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Covers the Twins for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. And, Bobby, beyond ownership, it has been a quiet offseason. Probably tough for a beat writer because there hasn't been a lot of news.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those kind of just waiting for something to happen. And, the Twins are they're way more focused on the trade market than free agency. Almost kind of that's the way I kind of think their offseason will go, is they'll make at least a trade or two, and then maybe that'll open some things up, especially financially. But for how slow it's been, I mean, you look around the league, I mean, how much money's been spent, all the big names, free agents are off the board. It's a tough time to be a Twins fan when nothing happens and everyone else is kind of celebrating big moves.
Yeah, Max Kepler to the Phillies. He signs a deal there. We'll see how he does. No surprise there that Kepler would move on.
No, I mean, even Max Kepler kind of said it at the end of the season. He wished his Twins career would have ended a little bit differently when he wasn't on the injured list, but was happy with how his Twins career went in his 15 years in the organization. But there wasn't much effort there to kind of rerun it back. The Twins have Matt Waldner and Trevor Larnach as left-handed hitting corner outfielders, and they'll move forward with those guys there. But I think it was one of those, they had their ups and downs, obviously, over the 10-year career in the big leagues for Max Kepler. But I think both sides just wanted to see what it would look like going forward in different spots.
A story posted on Christmas Eve about the Twins sending Giovanni Moran to the Red Sox. A little bit more about that deal. He hadn't pitched, and the Twins might have picked up a utility guy that could contribute.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, Giovanni Moran, left-handed pitcher, those are always kind of in demand. There was kind of rumors that he was going to be taken in the Rule 5 draft. Missed all of last season because of Tommy John surgery, but was on a minor league contract, so he was eligible to be taken. So the Red Sox get him. They don't have the roster restrictions, which made him a little bit more valuable. And the Twins get, Gasper, who's a utility guy. I don't know how much teams think he can catch in the future, especially at the big league level. But hit pretty well in AAA, hit really well in the minor leagues last year, kind of, he made his major league debut last August. So a guy that, if he continues that, at least as a bench piece, and if not, maybe a little bit more. If he can add some power, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that very well could start in St. Paul and be a depth guy, if nothing else.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I think, you look at what happened to the Twins at the end of last season, that 6 weeks collapse there with how much depth, pitching, they had three rookie starters. In the lineup, they had so many guys that were on fumes at the end of the year. Just goes the importance of depth. And if they're not going to be able to sign a bunch of guys to add to that depth, you're going to have to take some shots and, hope some of those lottery tickets pan out with some of the guys you add in the minor moves.
Yeah, there's been this talk, and it's a rumor floating around that Carlos Correa could be on the block. What are your thoughts on that rumor that's circulating? I find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, when I asked Twins officials at the winter meetings, they said it was kind of overblown how available he was. I mean, it's one of those obviously the Twins are in a tight financial situation for their payroll. They're going to keep payroll at basically the same level it was last year or last season, so like the $130 million level. And if you look at their payroll going into next season, it's already above that. So they're going to have to shed some salary somewhere. But it's one of those, you look at, okay, he makes the most money. Look how much money that could be freed up. But he's also coming off foot injuries the last 2 years. Yeah, he's played at an all-star level, but the money he's owed, basically if you're going to trade him, it would be kind of a salary dump. And the Twins still want to win. I mean, it's one of those, they're still in a winning window. They still have the pitchers that they like. If Royce Lewis and Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa, I know that's been the last few years. But if two of those three guys can stay healthy for a year, the Twins like their chances in the American League Central. So I think it's one of those, they're not just dumping salary just to dump salary. They're trying to find ways to improve the team, stay competitive in the AL Central. So that's always in the back of their mind. And if that's the case, it's hard to find a competitive deal where Carlos Correa would be involved. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, and Bobby, when you look at the 40-man, and I know people came out of the 24 season frustrated with the ball club and the fact that the Poleds have explored selling the club and it's been quiet in this offseason. But if you just are objective and take a look at the 40-man and the players available and a couple of young guys that could emerge onto the minor leagues, you have a competitive ball club, particularly in this division. You have no idea what Cleveland will do. They were a very good team a year ago. Detroit was a big surprise getting to the postseason. Can they repeat that again in 2025? In Kansas City, even though they have Bobby Witt Jr., they were a bit of a surprise in 2025. So if the Twins have a good year, and I think in a lot of ways 2024 was a nightmare, they certainly can be competitive. They're not that far off.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the frustrating part is, if you had some payroll to add to it, I mean, it's a decent core.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, take away the 6 weeks collapse. I mean, right before that, they were within two games of the best record in baseball. So, I agree with you. I mean, I think pitching-wise, I think you have to at least take some confidence there. Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, that's a solid front three. They have the depth. I mean, unfortunately, you had to use it last year, but like the David Festas, the Zebby Matthews, Simeon Woods Richardson, they all gained experience last year, probably in less than ideal circumstances, but still are more experienced for it for next season. So, I think the offense is the big one. Can guys stay healthy? That's been the big question mark. In 23, they were able to win the division and win a playoff series. And, you know, if Carlos Correa would have stayed healthy last year, you know, I think that probably would have changed things. Him missing most of the second half, it seems like that coincided with kind of the funk the team was in. But, it, you know, if Royce Lewis takes a step forward, I mean, it will take away the – if you would have cut last year in half, I mean, how excited people were about what he was doing when he first came back last year. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think there's momentum there, it certainly.
All right, let's talk about a couple of spots, and then we'll let you go. Max Kepler is gone. He was a fixture in right field. Who's the leading candidate to be the right fielder on opening day?
Yeah, I think that's Matt Wallner. You look at what he did after he did get sent down last year, but when he came back, I mean, he was really, really good. Maybe the most consistent hitter down the stretch. So I think he'll be your everyday right fielder, basically.
All right, and then over at first base, Carlos Santana back with the Guardians. Bit of a surprise, but what do the Twins do day in and day out down at first?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, I think if they are able to make a trade and free up some salary, you know, say you trade a Chris Paddock or a Christian Vasquez or a Willie Castro, you know, I think that's where the money's going to go towards. Just because internally they have Jose Miranda, Edward Julian. Not that neither of those two guys can't be everyday type starters, but at first base, you know, they're not going to provide much power. They both struggled in the second half of last year. I don't know that they inspire a ton of confidence defensively. So I do think that's the area that they would like to add, but I think a trade has to happen first before they add a first baseman. But for agency, I mean, there's not a ton of options out there. A lot of the first basemen went, including Carlos Santana, and a lot of trade options went. So I think that's one of the most urgent spots is, you know, time's pressing if you want to add someone there.
And then big picture bullpen. We talked already about the starters. I still sense that the bullpen's in a pretty good spot as we head for the 25 season that you can always add, but in general, I like the makeup of what they've got.
Yeah, I mean, I think the back end is going to be the same guys that were there last year. Jawan Duran's your closer. Griffin Jacks was unbelievable last year as your setup man. You know, like Cole Sands, if Brock Stewart can get healthy, that's a guy to watch again. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Louis Varlin gets moved into the bullpen. And every time he's been moved back there, his velocity's ticked up to close to 100 miles an hour. And he strikes out a ton of guys. I mean, he's the guy that they're really optimistic about if he is in a full-time bullpen role. So I could see him figuring into those plans, too, where he's a sixth, seventh-inning guy and able to pitch multiple innings.
All right. Well, Bobby, it's always good to visit with you. And once again, it's going to go quick. But before we know it, it's going to be Twins Fest. And then you count down to pitchers and catchers reporting in Fort Myers.
Yeah, the weather warmed up this, you know, today, so it's kind of like the mini preview.
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt. The Twins would have settled for today for opening day at Target Field. There is no doubt about it. It was lovely.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those, if you could promise this weather in April, attendance would be up, I think. Oh,
yeah, for sure. All right, Bobby, Happy New Year. Always good to visit with you.
Yep, Happy New Year to you, too.
All right, there he is, Bobby Nightingale. He covers the Twins for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. And, of course, his dad, Bob Nightingale, has covered the big leagues for a long, long time and joins us from time to time as an Odyssey MLB insider. And we always thank Phil Miller, his colleague at the Star Tribune, for his contributions. One thing I wanted to note. And he posted it on social media earlier today, and that is Do-Young Park, who has covered the club for MLB.com for 6 years now. He's been on the beat, and he posted this earlier today and basically said it's been the honor of a lifetime to have shared these last six seasons with you all. I can't possibly thank you enough. And he went on to put a little note on social media, and he is going to MLB's StatCast team as a developer. So after 6 years on the Twins beat at MLB.com and with joining us throughout the season here on News Talk 830-WCCO, is going over to MLB's StatCast team as a developer. So Do-Young Park, good guy, Minnesota guy, went to Stanford, and then has covered the Twins for six seasons. So good for him as he opens another chapter of his career. It is 521 here at News Talk 830-WCCO. NFL scoreboard today. Yes, the games go on. Yes, we had a Charger blowout of the Patriots 40-7. Once again, the LA Chargers, they're my sneaky pick in the AFC. I'm not saying they're going to win it all or go to the Super Bowl, but it wouldn't surprise me if they go on a deep run this year. They look really good.
Or knock somebody out that's not supposed to be out early. I think a big disruptive force on its own.
Oh, no doubt. And someone sent a text. Herbert's thrown three picks all year. He's been phenomenal. And now he's got a great O-line in front of him.
Minnesota and built O-line. Am I right, Steve? Am I right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And the old kid was a first-round pick, and it wasn't that complicated. But say what you want about Jim Harbaugh, the guy gets it done wherever he is, and the Chargers are good. By the way, kind of a snoozer, Cincinnati leading Denver 10-3. Cincinnati could stay alive with a win, but they need help. And then the Cardinals, they're eliminated. They'll take on the Rams tonight at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. And by the way, I keep thinking about this, just a sidebar. My youngest daughter and I are planning to go to L.A. for the Olympics in 2028, along with 8 billion other people. But the swimming events are going to be at SoFi, and that is our target. If we could get tickets to anything, and since it's big, we feel like we've got a shot to get into SoFi to see some swimming events in the 2028 Summer Olympics.
So, you want to see Ledecky and Caleb Dressel do their thing, right? Are they both
anticipated?
See,
and I don't even know if they're going to be. I don't even know if they're going to be around. Are they planning?
I feel like Ledecky will be, but I don't know. Maybe that I think she's been in three now. It's wild how quickly these kind of just shoot by.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Dressel, I feel like is older, so I'm not sure. But he's a hell of a swimmer too.
Yeah, so we're going to try. What's cool is my youngest daughter has a coworker who lives in Long Beach and says, hey, you can stay here. And I'm like, perfect. You know, now we got at least a place to stay. That's going to be a huge part of it in the Olympics. Then we got to get there and get tickets. So we'll see how it plays out. I did want to make sure we mention this because he is a legend of our business, a legend of broadcasting, and a legend of sports broadcasting. Greg Gumbel died at the age of 78 on Friday. His family confirmed the news in a statement. Gumbel served as a play-by-play guy and studio host for CBS Sports. He was at NBC before that, worked on the NFL Today, the Super Bowls, the Olympic Games, Selection Sunday. Was all about Greg Gumbel. And 50 years plus in the business at a very high level. And you can sum up Greg Gumbel, not only a great broadcaster, but pure class. And you read about what his colleagues said. And we're watching TV. You can only glean what you can off the TV. But you read about all the people that worked with him over the years and just pure class. Just 100% what you want in a broadcaster. Once again, Greg Gumbel passed away at the age of 78 after a battle with cancer. Just, you think of all the memories. And someone on social media put something out there that I totally agree with. Kind of like they've dedicated the NFL Thanksgiving games to Madden. They should dedicate Selection Sunday to Greg Gumbel. I think that would be fitting and a phenomenal idea. We're going to break. My good buddy Kevin Lynch from FanDuel Sports Network. We'll talk Timberwolves. Some way, somehow, they got it done. They beat Houston. They're kind of scratching and clawing right now. We get ready to start a new year. What's this team actually going to look like? Can the Timberwolves, as currently constructed, contend? It's been a very mixed bag so far. We'll get Kevin's thoughts on that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Timberwolves got a win. They beat Houston 113-112. It'll be the Spurs and the Timberwolves tomorrow at 7. Then on New Year's Eve, it'll be the Timberwolves and the Thunder going at it. And he covers the Timberwolves for FanDuel Sports Network. His name is Kevin Lynch. Kev, hope you had a great holiday and Happy New Year.
Yeah, good to hear your voice, Steve. It's isn't it, you know, between Christmas and New Year's is always kind of a weird, strange time.
It is.
You know, just like, no, some people are working, some people don't. You got shopping, you got getting ready for New Year's parties, and it's always kind of everybody's floating, and normal life doesn't resume until, you know, after the New Year.
Yeah, and I'm kind of ready for that. I was over at the University of Northwestern in Roseville for a holiday tournament. I had a couple of girls' games on Friday night. So it's great to get out, call a couple of hoops games, and really saw some good teams and good players. Matamidi and Stuartville in the early game, and then in the nightcap, didn't get started till about 8:40, was Minnehaha Academy taking on Benilde St. Margaret's. And both teams had terrific players, and they really got after it. I mean, none of those players had any sort of holiday hangover. They really got after it. Two good ball games, so it was fun. But I'm kind of worn out. Calling two games tires me out, man. I can't. You know, one's usually plenty for me.
Yeah, you know, we're not as young as we used to be, my friend. So you know, it's. You know, you call those games, and it can be pretty exhausting, especially when you get into it and the kids are playing super hard . And you're calling the game, and it makes you tired, man. I've been there.
Yeah, and there's one player in particular, and like I say, Stuartville had a nice team, Matamidi had a nice team, but the nightcap, Minnehaha Academy and Benilde St. Margaret's, and two really good programs. But Addie Mack at Minnehaha Academy scored 36 last night and moved to second on the all-time scoring list in the state of Minnesota. She's headed to Maryland and will play for Brenda Freeze. And she's not a real big kid, but what a player. And Kev, you know, 36 points, that's no joke. I mean, especially against a great team like Benilde.
Yeah, you know, and the three-point shot, you know, the three-point shot was implemented as soon as when I left high school in 87, I graduated 87, and then 87, 88, the next year when I was a freshman in college, that's when they brought in the three-point line, so I just missed it. But that's a big reason why these kids are scoring so many points. That reason, because you can shoot threes now for all these last number of decades. But then also, you know, you have kids that are like, I'm sure this kid you're talking about, she probably started playing varsity at a private school like that, you know, maybe seventh, eighth, ninth grade. So they get, they take a lot of threes, and they start sooner as far as playing varsity basketball. So that's why you get these kids scoring, you know, 3,000 points or 4,000 points or whatever.
Yeah, it is incredible. And today I haven't seen the box score, but today she was 4 points shy of 4,000 career points. But you'll be thrilled. Oh. Addie Mack, Maryland bound from Minnehaha Academy, 17 points in the first half, not one three-pointer, Kev. She had a couple of threes in the second half, but 36 with only two made threes. I mean, it was dribble, penetrate, and putbacks on rebounds, and just a really nice player. And Brenda Freeze in Maryland has a terrific program, so they got a good one there.
Let me say this too, Steve. It'd be interesting to have a conversation about, you know, there's a lot of talk in the basketball world, especially the NBA world, of has this three-point shooting revolution gone too far? And I'm kind of getting, you know, you watch an NBA game and you might have one of the, you know, most teams will take, you know, between 80 and 100 shots in an NBA game. And some of these teams are taking 40, 50, even close to 60 three-pointers in a game. And if you really break down, you know, how good those shots are, each one of those three-point shots, you know, sometimes if you take 50 threes in a game, 20 or 25 of them are just flat-out bad shots. They're rushed, they're hurried, they're taken by players that shouldn't be taking them. And, you know, there's a real argument there about has this gone too far? I think it has. And so you telling me about this kid, this player, high school player, you know, scoring a lot of points and not just relying on jacking up a bunch of threes, that makes me feel good that kids are getting to the basket or posting up in on the block or whatever. I don't want to watch a basketball game where it's, you know, only threes, because that just gets one-dimensional.
Yeah, and Kev, to illustrate that point, and there has been a lot of hand-wringing about NBA ratings, and they went head-to-head with the NFL on Christmas Day. But I saw this in a story from Yahoo Sports, and this illustrates the point you're making. The Bulls and Hornets combined to miss 75 three-pointers in a single game earlier this month, an NBA record. I don't want to watch that, where everything is about generating a look for a three-point shot. It's not interesting to me. And I would rather see, I think of the great San Antonio Spurs teams led by Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, the way they would move the ball. And then before that, David Robinson, you know, in the half court, on the fast break, the way they would move the ball and get good looks, whether they were threes or down low.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, there's a ton to talk about with this stuff. I mean, the goal in basketball, Steve, is not to get a three-point shot. The goal in basketball is to get an open shot taken by a good shooter. That's the goal. So if you get an open 17 footer, please take the shot. I'd rather have an open 17 footer than a guarded 3-point shot. That's just a better shot. And all this talk, I'm so tired of it. Of it's not an efficient shot. A mid-range shot is should die because it's not efficient. Efficiency, all these analytics, it's just a bunch of BS. I'm tired of it. And like again, the goal is to get an open shot taken by a good shooter instead of just you know jacking threes as quickly as you can. And you're right, it's ugly basketball.
Yeah, and I saw the Stuartville boys play St. Paul Johnson when I got over to the University of Northwestern. By the way, a beautiful campus, and a great facility, great for that Capital City Holiday Classic, and I love the way Stuartville came into town and the way they shared the ball. Good, quick passing, you know, to the post, back out, you know, backdoor cuts. That's fun to me. And like I say, you and I could go on all night about it. But, yeah, the three-point shooting. On to the Timberwolves before we run out of time. They get a much-needed win over a surprisingly good Houston team that appears to have turned the corner.
Yeah, you know, they've really started to come on last season, and they've kind of been stockpiling young talent. So they got a bunch of athletes, and then the big guy, Alperen Şengün, he plays like Nikola Jokic does for Denver. He's got a game like that. And then you got Fred VanVleet, who was an important pickup as a point guard. So your center plays an unusual style of game, and he's really talented. Your point guard has been through the wars before and won an NBA championship with the Raptors. And then you got all these young guys they just drafted in the last few years that are just playing hard. So they started to really turn the corner last season. They started to come on. So, you know, people that have been paying attention to the Rockets are not surprised that they're doing well. So they'll still have their ups and downs, but toughness, guys that play hard, young talent, they're ascending right now. So don't sleep on Houston moving forward, because they got a chance to do something pretty big.
Yeah, and we're getting ready to turn into the new year and kind of get real serious in the NBA about playoff positioning and teams that are going to be in the playoffs or in the play-in tournament, et cetera. But we saw balance. And I still feel like this team, it's figuring out where Julius Randle fits, yeah. How Ant is going to take the lead with this group. Dante DiVincenzo, 22 points last night. Good game. I mean, just getting these pieces to fit together, it's certainly taken time and might take a little more time.
Yeah, but, you know, that's kind of my fear with these guys is, like, they're I mean, you know, one way to describe this team so far this year is just inconsistent. And sometimes if you're not careful, like in the NBA, and a team's, you know, kind of begins a season and they play inconsistently, and sometimes if they don't handle it right, they play inconsistent the rest of the season. And so that's kind of what the Wolves have done so far this year, is they win a game, lose a game, win three, lose three, this kind of back and forth, up and down. And they have to do everything they can to get out of that pattern, because at the end of the season, if they keep going this route, they're going to be 41-41. They're going to be eighth or ninth seed and have to go through the play-in, and then it's going to be tough from here on out. So, yeah, that's the thing, is like all their players have, with the exception maybe of Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he's played better than he did last year. But everybody else has played either the same as they did last year or worse, and they've been inconsistent with DiVincenzo and Julius Randle to a degree. So it's a pattern they got to get out of, Steve, and if they can do it, they can make some noise. But we will see how this all plays out in the next couple months. Another thing I should mention, too, is if they keep going like this, they might have to make some sort of move or maneuver before the trade deadline, which can make things interesting too coming in February. So we'll see.
All right, Kev, Happy New Year. Always good. See ya.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. See ya.
All right. There he is, Kevin Lynch, Timberwolves analyst with FanDuel Sports Network. By the way, Timberwolves host the Spurs tomorrow night, Sunday night, 7:00. Then at Oklahoma City on New Year's Eve, and then right back home on January 2nd, big Thursday night tilt with the Celtics at Target Center. Tough ticket there to see Boston. Very good team. 10 minutes now in front of 6 here at News Talk 830-WCCO. Scores, Denver, Cincinnati Bengals had the lead 17-10. Denver puts one on the board, tied at 17 midway through the fourth. Meanwhile, the Chargers blow out the Patriots 40-7. The L.A. Chargers looking pretty good late in the season. Tonight, Cardinals-Rams at SoFi in Inglewood. Of course, Vikes-Packers tomorrow. Lindsay, I got one question for you. How much would you need to be paid to sit through every second of the Titans and Jaguars tomorrow at noon?
Oh, $300.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking $100 an hour would be about right. More or less to sit through Raiders Saints tomorrow at noon. $300.
Yeah, even more money, because that football team is worse than it was last year, and that's saying something. And so I don't know if I've told you, I'm on a little bit of a football sabbatical this year, so I'm kind of just watching it from an ancillary vantage point, and I'm looping back in probably for the playoffs. And so there's a lot of bad football out there to be watched, though.
Yeah, but at least, you know, Titans-Jags would at least be, I would need to be paid $100 cash per hour. By the way, bad news, Scottie Scheffler, he hurt his hand on Christmas.
Yeah.
Needed surgery. Scottie's out 3 to 4 weeks. He'll miss the Century, the Tournament of Champions, to start the new season. So Scottie hurt to start 2025. All right, we got to run. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Thanks to you for tuning in. I'm Steve Thompson. Happy New Year.